Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the Word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world.
Rich Procida, P-R-O-C-I-D-A, his podcast, Bible Studies for Progressives. Come, welcome, Rich. Thank you for being here today. It's wild times.
Thank you, Liz.
What's going on with you? What's happening?
Well, right now we're working really hard because Trump plans to overthrow the election and install himself as a dictator. Now, before you jump out of your seat and say, no way, that can't happen, that's not happening, really take a look at what's happening. This is a president who claims to be the law and order president, yet will refuse to obey court orders, particularly, I'm referring specifically not only to the taxes, but to the census, in which Wilbur Ross, the undersecretary of, well, I forget what he's the secretary of, but he's the one in charge of the census, and the court has ordered him to continue till the end of October, and there's an order out there, and yet he's refusing, not following the order. And this is what Trump has done over and over. He hasn't complied with subpoenas to Congress. He's not going to comply with any court orders. There are still children separated and missing because our government intentionally separated parents from their children as a form of punishment. This is fascism 101. And so I think the first thing that we need to talk about today, and what we need to really make sure people are aware, that these are the last days of democracy in America, or they could be. I don't believe they are going to be. I believe we're going to prevail. But the threat that this could be the end of democracy in the United States, I mean, not a perfect democracy. We know we don't have a perfect democracy. It's not really a stretch to go from a corporate-owned democracy to a corporate-owned nation like we have today with a quasi-democracy, some type of veneer of democracy. We do have democracy, and the votes are respected, but we're also very manipulated, as you know, by propaganda. But also that it's not a short move to go to a dictatorship from a democracy that's basically run by corporations and the rich. So the Republicans have been engaged in voter suppression for quite a while already. We've seen the long line. They don't want black people and people of color to vote. They don't want Democratic states to vote. So we know that they really don't care about democracy. What they care about is power and holding on to power and the money they can make. That's why the tax cuts become such a huge issue, because Trump just fed his supporters and the rich a huge tax cut and now wants to say he's going to raise your taxes. Well, he's not going to raise your taxes. He's going to raise their taxes. And that's what they mean. So we have to come to a conclusion. We have to see that our democracy is threatened right now, that Trump plans to overturn the... Go ahead, Lynn.
Totally. And that rhetoric, I've never heard... I never, ever heard anybody just totally, disgustingly go after a whole half of supposedly our nation. Like, just point blank. It's really appalling how much hatred Oh, the left, the left. So, I mean, how dare our country divide? You know, aren't they getting, we're just being played? You know, for more guns, more drugs, more jail funding, more, you know, I mean, aren't they getting it?
Yeah, and all the things that Trump is doing, inciting violence, demonizing the left. So it's the labeling, the demonization, the propaganda that all serves to incite violence, to incite division, to incite chaos. And that's what he needs around the election. It's apparent from his strategy that he has no intention of leaving office and he has no way of winning the election and yet no intention of leaving. So now he set up the Attorney General's office and the Justice Department to change a policy that's been around for years that they will not interfere in an election. And they've just changed that policy. So he's not only is he inciting violence and disarray and confusion and hatred and division, he's using the levers of power to enforce his will. So it's going to be a multi-pronged attack on our democracy. We already know he's asked the Proud Boys and other white supremacist armed groups to stand by on election night. The scenario that we have now is that this is not going to be an election night like we've had in the past. This may be an election week, an election month. And Trump may look like he won initially because of the people who are voting at the polling places. But once the mail-in ballots start to get counted, then we'll start to see Biden overtake Trump by quite a bit. But in the meantime, Trump will try to claim victory and end the ballot counting in the election on election night. So there are a couple groups out there that are working and planning for this possibility. Protect the results, choose democracy, and refuse fascism. Our refuse fascism is already having daily events all across the country. They're a little more ideological than...
You can't be anti-fascist, you know, fascist without being pro-democracy, right? So you really want to get to everyone, right and left.
Right, right. The thing about the left and the right, and like you said, we need to move beyond that. We need to reach out to those who are not, haven't heard the message, or to the middle. We need to reach out to people. We can't just be preaching to the choir on this. We can't just be the lefty activist out there, although we know that our country and the politics is moved by those who are active, and those who are inactive have little influence on the system. But we need to reach out to those beyond our ideological base, beyond the left, and so that people recognize that this is about defending the Constitution. Yes, fighting for democracy, protecting democracy, that's all about our Constitution. This Constitution is fairly young, at 250 years old.
Yeah.
That's not a long time in human history.
No.
We've had empires.
Right.
And we could lose this democracy. And what Trump has showed us is how actually weak our system is. It relies on voluntary compliance with established norms. And one of those established norms are the peaceful transition of power, which began with George Washington, who rather than become a dictator, chose to step down and let somebody else become, and started that tradition of peaceful transfers of power, except for the Civil War, which was not one. And in some sense, I believe we go through cycles. And this is a cycle where perhaps people are reborn and people play different roles. I think Trump is Andrew Jackson after Lincoln. And perhaps Biden is our General Grant. So this sort of cycle of going through these things. So in any case, that's more of a metaphysical view of things. Yeah, so we have to reach out to people so that they can begin to see that this threat is real. It's not just propaganda. It's not something that's been made up. It's not political maneuvering. Take a real look. Right. And if we look at what Trump is doing and saying, it's very clear he's not even reaching out to his base any longer. He's told us that he's not going to accept the results of the election. And even Vice President Pence, in the debate with Kamala Harris, would not commit to honoring the results of the election. And that is such a dangerous statement, and we should believe him that he will not honor the results of the election. He will call the election fraudulent or illegitimate. He will call his people into the streets and into the election polling places to intimidate people. And he will try to incite violence to justify using force to suppress the protest. And this idea that all these his media presentation and hype about violence, it's an total exaggeration of what's actually happening on the ground. It is nowhere near that at these protests. The vast majority of protests are people. There are children at these protests. People come to speak out, to participate in democracy. So people who have never been to protests might just take a look at what they're being shown in Trump's advertising and think that the whole country is in the middle of a terrible, violent upheaval. But that's not the case. Trump is setting that up to justify
his
use of military force.
Yeah.
And he's using this label of Antifa. I want to tell you what Antifa was. It was a group of young people, and this was before Trump, and I remember here in Orange County, they would go to go beat up a Nazis. They felt justified to go to these small Klan rallies and white supremacist rallies and then beat up on Nazis because they deserved it. In other words, they were under the influence of disinformation and propaganda, thinking that somehow they're justified and morally right to go beat up Nazis. Well, that strategy worked well as long as the white supremacist protests were small and the counter-protests vastly outnumbered the white supremacists. But once Trump started using his white supremacist and racist rhetoric and dog whistles and generated a larger white supremacist, Nazi, Ku Klux Klan type of people to come out and protest, then that strategy of going and beating up Nazis who were widely outnumbered didn't work anymore. And what we ended up with was Charlottesville. And Charlottesville was essentially the end of Antifa. The groups that were protesting in Portland, as we spoke with Frank in an earlier episode, they're not Antifa. Frank says they came from outside of Portland. Whatever the case is, they're mostly Marxist revolutionaries who think they're fighting fascism. They're deluded, and they're under the influence of propaganda, and they're essentially agents of the propagandist, which is a Russian propagandist who supports Trump. So they're completely confused and counterproductive, but they're not the common protest. And protests go around all across the country every day, and you don't hear about them. And the news should really report on them. There are plenty of actions going on, and every newscast should have a report on an action that went on that day. And yet they want to appeal to what people apparently want to hear and don't want to give activists the time of day, because they're selling things and not promoting democracy, which is part of what, I mean, the press is mentioned in the Constitution. A free press is an institution that upholds our democracy. It's independent, but it's important, and really one of the only private institutions, non-public institutions, mentioned in the Constitution. But this Antifa label, so somebody came out and said Antifa doesn't exist. Well, Antifa doesn't exist now, essentially. Charlottesville put an end to Antifa. I like to call the resort to violence as the way of death, because that's what it leads to. Not that there are people don't die doing nonviolence, but nonviolent death, the killing of innocent people, scars a nation. But the killing of violent people and violent protesters doesn't have the same impact or effect, and only causes division and allows the opposition to justify their use of violence. Because remember, that's what they want to do. That's their power. That's their advantage. That's how they can control people. That's how they can manipulate the situation. But they can't do it so readily against nonviolent protesters, against mothers, because they'll face an backlash, an outcry. And so it's very important to remain nonviolent. And the way nonviolence works, unfortunately, is through putting our bodies on the line. But he's used this label, Antifa, just like he used the immigrants are rapists and murderers, and there's a horde of an army trying to come and cross our border, which are really just refugees trying to escape oppression, violence, and in some cases, poverty and the lack of democracy, the lack of respect for their rights. Somebody came out, and I don't know who it was, and said that Antifa doesn't exist. And what they meant was not like what I just said, which Antifa did exist but doesn't exist any longer. And we know that Trump is using this as a dog whistle to use a racist, to appeal to racism. But what the person was trying to say by saying it's an idea, Antifa is just an idea. And President Biden said that in the debate, and he's making a mistake by doing that. And the idea they're talking about is all these anti-racist trainings, anti-racist books, and critical race theory, ethnic studies, grievance studies.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so yep. These are the things that they're trying to equate Antifa with. But Antifa was something else. So it's not really an idea. And Trump is also trying to equate Antifa with these ideas, with these books, with this, what is essentially propaganda that was disseminated after George Floyd, but has been disseminated for a long time already. And but it's not Antifa. Antifa was something different. So not only are the people who are in the streets committing violent acts not Antifa, there's some other groups, but the ideas of anti-racism are not Antifa either. They may not be good, they may not be helpful, they may not be that great, but they're not Antifa. So this is how propaganda seems to seep in. Somebody comes up with explanation, Antifa doesn't exist, it's just an idea. But that just fits in with the current reality, not with the history of Antifa. So this is just a way that Donald Trump can rally his base, appeal to racist and hatred, and inflame anger and division by essentially calling the opposition racist. He even went ahead
called Kamala Harris a monster.
So Trump has no real way of winning the election. I mean, we look at the election and we see the polls, and people want to talk about how Hillary Clinton lost a vastly different election. We had a real primary this election, which means we chose the best candidate that was available. Hillary Clinton was using the process of superdelegate to amass a huge lead before any vote was ever counted, giving any contender or competitor a huge disadvantage. So that was not a legitimate primary election for, even though you might like Hillary Clinton, you may think Hillary Clinton's okay, or you may hate Hillary Clinton. The fact of the matter is, it was not a democratically run primary. The
Yeah, but have there ever been really any real democracy, you know, because of what's happened on the planet since Roman times? Isn't that what, you know, this planet is supposed to come into, right? Enlightenment, interconnected cities of enlightenment, peace, green, interstellar travel. Enlightenment is about the Christ consciousness, true Christ consciousness, which is really what, you know, is ancient wisdom. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think we don't have a perfect democracy. We don't have complete democracy. We have
a system.
And one of the things about the difference that we have with superdelegates is that we don't even have the semblance. Well, we have the semblance of democracy, but the fact is people didn't have the same vote. That superdelegates have massive influence, and these are lobbyists, corporate Democrats, establishment Democrats, people to protect the interests of those in power. So we didn't have...
Yeah, but you can watch them now, Rich. You can actually go in and find out who voted for what, when, and how, you know? And then can't they be held accountable? Because, anyway...
Right, we have a democracy. Now, the difference between what happened in the primary and... So our democracy is influenced by money, by propaganda, by perhaps, well, in this case with Trump, we're going to have government influence trying to influence. He just released the Attorney General's office and Justice Department and is allowed now to interfere with the election. So they intend to interfere with the election. But the difference between Hillary Clinton's primary win and democracy is that one person, one vote. That people get to vote and their vote counts just as much as another person's vote. In the primary, we didn't have that. We had a superdelegate could count for thousands, tens of thousands of people. So we didn't have a fair vote. So that's the main difference there. But we still have...
I know, the Electoral College, yeah, eliminate it for sure, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, well, we have the Electoral College.
There's too many people, you know.
Now, the Electoral College isn't right now reflecting the national vote, but in some sense, maybe it's good if we don't, because if everything was so centralized, maybe the vote could be more easily manipulated. But in any case, it's not the primary reason that we're losing the elections. The primary reason we're losing the elections is because we've been unable to reach the very people we need to reach to show them that the best, their best interest and the best interest of the country, the nation, and the world is to be a caring and compassionate country, a Christian nation, one that lifts up the lowly and sends the rich away empty, brings the powerful down from their thrones, and raises up the poor, and feeds the poor, and lifts up those who are oppressed and marginalized. This is the type of nation that we need to convince people that we need, not one that just make sure that they got money in their pocket, or even that is a falsehood because they're not really doing that. They're, you know, are maintain jobs. Of course, all these things are necessary, but it's more important to have a nation that cares for one another and for its people and for freedom and for liberty and all the values we hold dear, including democracy. So Trump has no real way of winning this election. He's not even trying anymore. He's just appealing to his base and preparing to overturn the results and declare the results illegitimate and install himself as a dictator. That's the plan, because there is no real attempt to actually win. And the difference between... Not only we're talking about Hillary Clinton's election, but we also had Russian interference, and we had an attorney general who was not a good lawman. So we had a lot of factors that came into play that created this situation that overturned the will of the American. Well, can't say the will of the American people, because we just didn't have a good candidate, because we didn't have a fully democratic primary. So there are a lot of factors that go into that. The differences between the election with Clinton is not only that Biden is a more legitimate candidate because he was actually elected through a primary process whereby people's votes counted one vote per person. But also, we now know who Trump is. And Trump is a known phenomenon now, and people don't like him. When Hillary was running, the polls fluctuated back and forth, and Trump could get within striking distance, within the margin of error, and then he would fall back. And so it was a very soft support for Hillary Clinton. And the right had spent years already attacking her. She was already a weak and wounded candidate. And then we had foreign interference, which we weren't prepared for. And our attorney general didn't know what he was doing. He should have been waiting for those documents and waiting to tell them, you show me something that we don't already have before I'm going to reopen the investigation. Not, oh, we got a box here. We have to reopen the investigation as we look to see if we actually have anything new. We have a much more solid, people are much more solid. The polls aren't fluctuating. People have made up their minds already. So there isn't a lot of fluctuation there. And we defended Biden when there was a misuse of power and when Trump tried to bribe a foreign leader to open a political investigation. We defended Biden. We absolutely had to do that. And we should have done it on the Mueller report because he wouldn't be able to say the Mueller report was a political investigation or a hoax or a scam if we had actually prosecuted him. So it's very important. This is a part of defending the Constitution and fighting for democracy. Very important to stand up to the powers and defend the Constitution when it's being threatened, when it's being... So we need to do that to protect ourselves. Now, people are planning. So he has no chance of winning the election. His plan is to overturn the result. There's no other outcome that is possible here. And everything he has said, and even his administration has said, and everything he's done, he's preparing to reject the results of the election, to declare them illegitimate, and to refuse to step down. And so people are calling for a nation to come out into the streets. We need to be prepared on November 4th, the day after the election, to come
into
the streets.
Okay, hon, go ahead and give all your information for Connection because we're out of time. Go ahead.
Okay, so just look at Choose Democracy, Refuse Fascism, Protect the Results. They're working on this. My name, Rich Procida. My podcast, Bible Study for Progressives. I write for LAProgressive.com. Recognize our democracy has been threatened. It's been threatened the moment Trump won the election. It was threatened before that. But now there's an intention to overturn the results and overthrow our democracy for good. We need to prepare not only to vote, but to defend our constitutional democracy and to get out into the streets on November 4th. And after that, be prepared for a possible national strike if that's going to come down. But we all need to band together because this threat is real and we can't deny it because everything he said and everything he's done. So stick together and keep your eyes open, ears open, get involved, and be ready to face a fascist regime. We will not accept a fascist America. And that's what we need everyone to understand, that this is not a regular election. It's not going to be an election night. It's going to be election week or month, and that there's going to be an attempt to overthrow our nation, a rolling coup that Trump is planning, and we need to be prepared for that as a people if we're going to save our democracy.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Procida. Thank you for listening.